Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast. In this episode, we walk through some of our water cooling gear for our new summer project and 5 gigahertz versus multi-core processing. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia. With me today, I have Darren McKinney.
Dennis, on the way in today to start the podcast, I couldn't help but notice that you have accumulated quite the pile of what looks like water cooling parts here, which makes me wonder, Dennis, is it time for a new build here at the labs?
It is time for a new build. The past couple of years have been really involved with the stuff for your build.
That is true. We've done quite a bit of work and a couple of different iterations of my machine.
Yeah, I did the Core V51, which was pearl orange, the stable of Hardware Asylum.
Beautiful.
And then we did a kind of a conglomeration with an X31 view system.
Right. All build logs that you can check out, or at least articles on hardwareasylum.com. But that being set aside, I don't know that we're working on my machine.
No, this one's mine.
So I got to know, are you doing a scratch build? Is this a gaming build? What's your plan?
Well, this is a ground up build. So people may not know this, but I have a pretty old computer.
Oh, I know, which is crazy.
Yeah, which is, you know, something that for my daily rig, I want something that's stable. So it's not overclocked. It's actually still got air cooling in it. Well, I'll just go down. So we got an Ivy Bridge, a 3730K.
Okay.
X, something like that. I forget which one it is. It's an LGA 2011, which is pretty old, back in the Sandy Bridge, Ivy Bridge era.
Right.
And that's sitting on an X79 Dark. I got a GTX 780 Ti as my video card.
Wow, that'll take you back.
And I'm still running a 500 gig rotational drive. No SSD, sadly. That's all in a Silverstone case.
And this is your daily driver, right? Do you game on this, or is this just a work PC?
It's mostly work, but I do game on it. And it actually is starting to show a little age.
I guess, yeah. It sounds like it's a long overdue, which now makes this pile of parts look a little more intriguing to me.
So this is going to be a full-up ground build mod in a similar vein to what we did for your systems.
Oh, excellent. So something fancy.
I had my eye on using an Evolve tempered glass, which is the case that I gave the Editor's Choice Award for. I was going to build into that, but it didn't have a vertical GPU mount, so I was going to mod that in. I was also going to mod in a few extra holes for some extra cooling. But at Computex, as you know, we saw the Evolve X.
Oh, yeah, and that was a beautiful case.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. It basically checks all the boxes. I mean, it doesn't have leather interior and stuff, but it has everything that I wanted. And for the color combination, I can just paint that on there. That's not a big deal.
Okay, so we've got the case down, and that is a good choice for a case. I don't know, though, what your plan is for the inside pieces, because what I'm looking at here looks like a pile of water cooling.
It is a pile of water cooling. So for the interior parts, I'm thinking that I will go with a 5960X.
Okay, good choice. Okay, so let's walk through it then together, and then we can talk about some of this custom stuff, because I think that's where the fun stuff is.
Okay.
So we got the processor. What motherboard are you looking at?
Oh, I'm going to use the Dark, the EVGA Dark, the X99 Dark.
Very nice. That ought to look good with a light show or a tempered glass window.
Mm-hmm.
Power supply?
Power supply was probably going to be one of my 1200 waters that I have laying around. Platinum seems to be the way to go.
If you got them, use them, right? So we got that. Now, I guess your board has a pretty healthy amount of onboard stuff. So I'm guessing you're not going to go with a lot of, you know, sound cards and the like. So that takes us straight to the video cards.
Video card. Oh, probably a GTX 980 classified.
Just one video card?
Yeah, just one. Because I want to do the vertical GPU. And since I mostly work on this PC, I don't necessarily game on it. I find that if it sits 80% of the time with just one GPU running, the other one just kind of sitting there idle, it just kind of seems like a waste.
Oh, I guess I see that. Although I'm a little surprised you haven't gone with a little bit newer card.
Well, I might go with a newer card. I mean, I do have a 1070 that I could plop in there. I have a 1080 Ti that I could do, but it's just a standard one, so it would probably just get a water block treatment.
Right.
I like the flashy big video cards, you know, so the classifieds, the gamer X's, you know, something like that. So that is what I'm going to go for if I don't just grab something off the shelf.
Okay, so that leaves as a heavy hitter is the memory.
Memory. Oh, I haven't decided on memory yet. I'm going to need a quad channel kit, obviously, and I want something with some oomph. So it'll probably be maybe something in the G-Skill line. So, but they do have the RGB LEDs. The motherboard itself doesn't have an onboard RGB LED controller. So that also plays into maybe I don't go with a LED memory and then just do lights around it for other stuff.
Very interesting. So I think we're down to storage.
I bought a Samsung NVMe drive, a 960.
Oh, now that's a good choice. What size did you go with?
512.
Very nice.
Might as well get the big boy. I didn't want to go any larger than that because I'm planning on doing the NVMe for OS, and then I'll be doing two HyperX drives and a RAID. These are SSDs, and that will be the primary storage drives. And then I have a 2 terabyte that I'll be using for just storage.
So no externals, no old school rotationals?
The 2 terabyte is going to be a rotational.
Ah.
But okay. I do also have my home network that runs NinjaLane LLC. I will probably be using that for long-term storage, so I really won't need that 2 terabyte at all.
Well, all right. I think we've got enough foundation down that you can start talking to me about this pile of goodies. So what are we looking at here?
Well, these are all Protium parts. And if you know the name, it's Singularity Computers.
I'm not familiar with Protium, but Singularity I am.
Protium is a line within the Singularity Computers. I don't remember what's in what box, so we're just going to open some stuff up. Oh, here we go. This one is a pump cover.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to...
that looks pretty. Is that aluminum?
Yeah, this is radio, so you obviously can't see what we're looking at here. This is aluminum. It's anodized, and it's also machined. So we have these flat black anodizing, and then it's machined down here, so you got the silver accents from the aluminum.
That's really pretty. Looks like you got a repositional removable cover there.
I'm going to make a few parallels to the Thermaltake stuff that we put into your machine.
I see that, and I'm just looking at this, and it is really pretty.
Yeah, so the pump cover is very similar to the Thermaltake one.
Mm-hmm.
It's round. It was one of the reasons I picked the Protium ones, because it has these accents in there that are in the machining.
That looks nice. So this will be the top cap most likely then?
Yeah, to cover the pump.
Okay.
Actually, it holds the pump in place.
I see that, but what I don't see is an outlet. So I'm guessing that this doesn't have a hose coupling on the top.
Well, this is just the pump cover.
Oh.
So yeah, this piece that you're holding here, again, radio, it's got a rubber pad on it to keep the vibrations down. And then this is where the wires come out.
So I am mistaken. This is the bottom piece.
Yeah, the bottom.
I get that. Okay.
Let's see. And I think in this cardboard box here, yes, this is the pump.
Okay.
So we got a D5 PWM. It squeaks.
Nice.
Yeah, so this is an XSPC pump or branded pump. But the D5, if you can believe it, is basically a standard pump. If I remember correctly, they were designed to be used in RVs.
How funny.
So they just basically got repurposed. They're a nice compact pump. They have a good head pressure, fairly long life. So it made an easy switch to the water cooling world, unlike the pond pumps that were running off of like 110 and 212 voltage.
And a big old sump pump in there. So this is nice. When this combines together, it looks an awful lot. Yeah, like the Thermaltake unit. I see the comparison now as I'm assembling this. We'll have to get some pictures to go out on the side or at least link out to these products so they can see how pretty this thing is.
The difference between the Thermaltake and the Singularity Computers is that Singularity sells components, and then you buy the components to assemble the parts. Whereas with Thermaltake, you can get a pump res combo or you can just get a pump, but you can't get just the pump head and all the other parts to assemble it yourself.
So I see where we're going. We're kind of working from the bottom up, which is interesting. So there must be at least somewhere a top cap, I would guess.
Yeah, we got a pump top coming in. I think that's what's in this box. Oh, yes.
Da, da, da. So while we're opening these, let's give Singularity a plug. What made you go with Singularity? Just the look?
Yeah, it's actually the look. I'm going to be selfish now and just say, hey, I was looking for a very functional and diverse water cooling setup that I could assemble myself. And I was modeling it after the Thermaltake gear because I liked the way that Thermaltake arranged everything in their system. So here is the pump top. And this doubles as a lot of things. So at the bottom here, it's got these threads on it. So here you put the pump cover on here. You screw that into place. So when you have the pump in there, that's what locks it in place.
I see.
And it's very smooth in here in the top. We have outlets.
Lots of outlets.
Here, an outlet here, an outlet there, or maybe that's an inlet, one of the two. This piece on the top, this is a cap. So if the cap is in place, this is the pump return. So you can have this as a standalone unit where it's just the pump.
Oh, okay.
But then if you remove this piece, I'm unscrewing it right now. That should clue you into what it is. What does that look like?
So it's going to hold a res.
Yeah, so we can have a res that will screw into there, which I think is the next box.
All nicely branded here from Singularity Steel.
Yeah, Singularity, this is one gripe that I have, and I'll call them out on it, actually. The caps. When I bought all these parts, all the pictures of the caps had the Singularity logo on them, similar to the Thermaltake ones.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Well, these ones, as you can see, don't have that. They just have a little hex head on there. So they're a standard cap. Well, when I called Performance PCs to say, hey, so what the heck, man? When can I get my caps? They said, well, they're having trouble with the printing. And so they weren't included.
Man.
And I'm like, no. Say, hey, call back in a couple of weeks and we can sell you some more caps, or contact Singularity to get caps. I even wrote Singularity saying, hey, where's the caps? I didn't get a reply.
Well, maybe they're in the middle of transitioning their line to something new. But you still, that's a little bummer. I know we like custom pretty around here.
Custom pretty. Well, and the nice thing is I can change the caps anytime I want. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll put Thermaltake ones on there.
Now, I recognize this. Now, this looks an awful lot like the reservoir that I'm using. Same size, very similar style.
Yeah, so this is the res that they sell. Look at that. That's super, super clear.
I got a tempered glass. Nope, plastic. Nope. Yes, plastic. Okay.
It's acrylic. So we have a top with three holes, and one of them is got the pipe on it, so that gives you the no backwash.
Right.
The bottom has two outlets on the bottom and then two of them on the side here.
So you can use this as a standalone res.
Yep, and that's the way they sell it, is a standalone res. However, if you go and twist the bottom, there's a collar here, and it pulls the bottom off.
Nice.
And so you can actually mix and match these parts. Like if you have two of the flat ends, you can put two flat ends on here. Or if you pull that end off, you can screw it into the top of the pump.
Very fancy.
And these things fit together so nice. So nice. Normally when you get cut acrylic like this, the threads are all gummy and they don't work very well. This is just super buttery smooth.
My head's up for a quality product.
Yeah. So that will be my pump res combo in the build, and I'll just reassemble this however which way I want it, and you can position it any way you want, really. You can have it vertical or horizontal, and since I have all the parts, I could have this, the pump separated as well.
Yeah.
Or if, like right now, I have the flat top with the three inlets on the top of it, I could actually put the bottom on the top.
Oh, yeah, and get the additional outlets.
Yeah, so I could have like a free 90 basically coming in off of that. So when the hose is coming back for the return, it could go in that way. And yeah.
Well, very cool. I do notice, however, that you do not have anything for your video card out yet.
No, I don't. I did not get a video card block, partially because of my indecision on what video card I'm going to be using.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So they're not all the same, folks.
So I do have a CPU block, and I'm using the Heat Killer, which is a very popular CPU block. I liked it mostly because of the look. So I got the one that's in nickel, dark nickel.
Nice.
So it doesn't have any plastic on it. It's full metal. I'll be matching that up with a black ice radiator, a very thick one, similar to what you have in your build, but it's a 280, so it'll support 240 millimeter fans.
Very nice. Okay, and that's with the vertical mounted GPU on the front?
I probably won't have a water block for it right away, but that will be one of the additions that I'll put in later.
Very nice. So when can we look forward to seeing this thing get started?
Well, I'm waiting for the case. So whenever the Evolve X is out, that is when I will start this particular build. However, the other Evolve, that case with the tempered glass side panels that I've been using for LAN parties at the Boise LAN, I think that's going to be the next summer project. I'm going to paint that one up all nice and actually put a semi-permanent build in there so I don't have to build the system every time I go to the LAN party.
Very cool. So at least one build coming up very soon. Check back for pictures of these incredible water cooling parts and more on the build as we ramp up to that project. Dennis, in the last segment, we talked quite a bit about your new build. And one thing I wanted to ask you as a follow-up is, why aren't you going with a newer multi-core processor, one of the new Intels, or perhaps even a Threadripper. I know in last month's podcast, you talked about how excited you were about the AMD motherboards that you saw while you were in Taiwan. So I really kind of expected that was the direction you're going to go.
Threadripper gaming motherboards were really super exciting this year at Computex, and I would love to have one. The issue there is that I don't have a Threadripper CPU yet, and a lot of my builds, you know, the ones that go to LAN parties and the ones I use for my personal machine, are all based off of hardware I have on my shelf.
Well, that makes sense, but I would think the Threadripper would be the way to go because you got all that multi-core high-speed goodness.
Unfortunately, Threadripper, and I still believe this, despite the gaming motherboards that are coming out for it, Threadripper is designed to be a workstation CPU. It's, you know, works in the data center, works when you're doing video rendering because you can use all those extra cores to make the process faster. You know, you're working Photoshop with, you know, 20 gigabyte pictures. You want to have a lot of processing power. Otherwise, your Gaussian blur will take hours upon hours to actually render. So that's why you have the multi-cores. That's why they're beneficial. Unfortunately, with games, they still work best on a quad-core CPU.
Yeah, even at best.
At best. I mean, you know, you have your system, six cores. It plays every game out there. There's basically virtually no lag, but I bet if we look at your CPU in the task manager, there's a couple cores that are doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. So I'm guessing that you'd be waiting for maybe Threadripper 2 when they start getting those things up 5, 6.
Oh, well, I wanted to do the next generation Threadripper if I did one, just because it's the full realization of the chip. They'll enable all four of the CPU pads. It's going to draw an amazing amount of power. It'll have this massive cooling solution on there. It'll kind of let me explore some of the extra cooling performance that I can do with like a phase and extra water cooling and water chilling. And that would actually just be fun.
Well, yeah, and you'll be able to get some crazy overclocks out of that bad boy too, I'd guess.
Oh, well, I would hope. But the problem with massive multi-core CPUs is that they don't overclock well. Coffee Lake, it's a six-core CPU. It overclocks really well, but it's based off of a Kaby Lake-style architecture. Kaby Lake, some of those CPUs will go 7 gigahertz. But then you get into the Core i9-7900 CPUs. Even under LN2, they have a hard time breaking 5 gigahertz. And the problem there is that they have too many cores, and they have to balance the clock frequency across those cores, make sure that they have enough power to run, and it really limits the overclock. You have less cores, like in the, was it the 7820 or something like that, the quad-core Kaby Lake version in that same package, it will go 7 gigahertz because it only has four cores to deal with. In a way, more cores is faster from a multi-threaded standpoint, but from a pure gaming standpoint and overclocking standpoint, the less cores is better, it's more efficient, it's faster.
Yeah, this is starting to remind me a little bit of some of the video card speculation that we've had over the last couple months, where we've speculated quite a bit about whether new cards are coming because the hardware is so much better than the software right now. So I'm wondering where you're thinking that's going to take the future of the PC today, because we really are, I think, hardware advanced over the software, especially when it comes to the multi-core applications.
I wanted to bring up an article that you sent me while I was actually at work trying to do some stuff. It was just kind of fun. But it was from PC Gamer, and they interviewed DeBauer at Computex. The title of it is Pro Overclocker DeBauer on Why the Race to Add CPU Cores Doesn't Make Any Sense and Why You Should Still Overclock. Overclocking is still fun. I mean, you still should overclock, but with the multi-core CPUs that are coming out, you don't need to anymore, really. And he brought up, there was a paragraph in here that you pointed out. Where was it? Here. I feel like base clocks in the CPUs have gone up pretty substantially over the past 5 years or so, but 5 gigahertz still feels like the overclocking goal. Maybe you can go a little beyond 5 gigahertz, but that hasn't changed as dramatically as the floor has risen. I'm not sure exactly what that last part means, but in a sense, he's talking about the 5 gigahertz ceiling. We saw that in Sandy Bridge. We saw that in Ivy Bridge. We saw that in Kaby Lake. We saw that in the LGA 2011 stuff. 5 gigahertz seems to be the ceiling in a lot of those applications. And it depends on the cooling method and the motherboard that's being used and all that. There's a lot of factors involved. And that reminds me of something back in like the Pentium 3 era, Coppermine. Back then, it was single core. And they started releasing dual-core ones because Intel, they were ramping up clock speeds. They were getting to 4, 4.5 gigahertz. They couldn't quite make 5, but instead of making 5, they lowered the clock speed and then added a second core. And magically, it was twice as fast. Just like adding, you know, a dual CPU motherboard back in the day, it was twice as fast, but it depended on the application you were using. He's really talking about what Intel talked about way back when they started to do multi-core, because there seemed to be a clock ceiling that they couldn't get past. There was no efficiency to make it there.
Well, I guess that explains the race to add more and more cores. But I am a little bit disappointed, especially when we see these anniversary edition processors and some of these machines trying to push that 7 gigahertz limit there under extreme cooling, and seeing not a very big advance in the base clocks, even with the old turbo.
Nope, no turbo. You know, and you'd ask me what I thought the future of the PC was, and kind of rings a bell with what we saw at Computex. There was not a lot of new hardware on display. There was no releases during the time. Mining was really big just because it's popular. A lot of the motherboard manufacturers nixed overclocking motherboards in general and kind of rolled that into, you know, gaming-centric stuff. And now they're making gaming really cheap. There was a theme at Computex that we didn't talk about in the last podcast.
Okay.
Which was the Asus Tough Gamer Alliance.
Oh, okay. So we've seen Tough products from Asus, but what is the Gaming Alliance?
The Gaming Alliance is... it's like a pre-qualification to unify third-party vendor products to their motherboard style. The Asus Tough Gaming motherboards had a particular style. It was black, and I think it was orange and some other colors, and they had specific graphic styles. And then they would partner with third-party vendors, like Cooler Master had a CPU cooler that was a Tough Gaming Alliance CPU cooler. It had the same graphics on it, so when you installed that on the motherboard, it was seamless. Crucial has a set of memory that's Gamer Alliance, and the design, it fits perfectly. You install that memory module there. You don't even know that it's a Crucial memory module, aside from the fact that it says Crucial on the side. It looks like it was built into the motherboard.
Well, I have to admit that being able to get products and knowing they're cross-compatible, I mean, that's appealing, because sometimes we look at products and try to just figure out how well they'd work together, or even how well they look together if you're building a windowed case.
Right. And this gives that opportunity. Obviously, it only works with Asus Tough Gaming Alliance products, but I kind of see this as being a future for the DIY market that would unify all of the vendors together to give them, you know, something new to give to deliver to the market, because everything has already been done. There's not really much more that you can do with a PC that hasn't already been done. So now we're seeing the launch of LED RGB stuff. And a couple years before that, everything was gold. You know, they had these themes that keep going across because they're trying to push one particular direction. And the innovation there, I think, is just kind of gone. So the future there is the creativity of assembling all these parts. The Gaming Alliance is one direction to try to unify all those parts and to get third-party vendors to deliver products that are compatible and give system integrators and builders a way to identify stuff that will work instead of having to ask on Reddit, "Oh, will this memory work with this motherboard?"
Oh my gosh, the endless battles too. And we've gone through that here when we've gotten new stuff and tried to figure out whether or not it's compatible with what's on the bench. Mm-hmm. I do have to admit that I kind of like a future where you can pick products and know that they're going to be compatible. Although I'm a little nervous about trying to go to a single channel, and I'm not sure that Asus has the clout to pull it off, but I could see it being sort of similar to the car market, right? Where you have the Asus Tough product line and Tough products work together. And you might have an Aris line on, Aris stuff works together on the other side. And there might be two or three of these different architectures or infrastructures maybe out there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Aris, they're doing an entire gaming line. They have memory and SSDs now. You know, it's something we talked about in the last podcast, and it's something that they've never done before, but they've extended the motherboard as best they can. So now they're including more things to keep everyone within their ecosystem. You know, and if you think about it from like a power standpoint, the PC, in the previous segment we talked about, and in previous podcasts, how the hardware is so far ahead of the software.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's rumors that NVIDIA is not going to release their next generation GPUs because the 10 series has no competition and they have excess GPUs out there, right?
Well, yeah, and let's face it, if the software doesn't use it, then why spend that much money?
Exactly. 90% of the people out there can just use their phone or a tablet to get, you know, their web surfing, searching, you know, they're watching YouTube videos. They can do that anywhere, really.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you need a PC for anymore?
Well, you know, there's always the extremers. Mm-hmm. The multi-processing, if you have, I guess, the Threadripper style, you know, for the streamers and the folks that are doing the heavy workload. So, I mean, I guess I see a lot of specialized channels, but I think in general, that question's difficult to answer.
Yeah, it is very difficult. I'm hoping that it will change. I'm hoping there'll be like a magic snap of Thanos' fingers that'll bring back another direction that they can take the PC and get people excited about building their own computer again and actually have a reason to do that instead of finding the cheapest thing possible just to build a gaming rig.
Well, yeah, and there is an interesting piece to the puzzle that I don't know that you've mentioned. That is, you know, why are we not seeing more multi-threaded software? I mean, we've had multi-threaded processors for a long time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that when this first started, we all thought, well, they're all programming to the lowest common denominator. But it's really, really difficult to have a processor out there that isn't multi-channel.
I want to say it's still based off of console gaming. You know, you get the Xbox One, it's what, four years old now?
Oh, yeah. And the PlayStation 4 is at the point now where they're rumoring new ones.
Maybe that's what they're going to put the new 10 series excess chips into, right?
There you go. All those semi-used farming chips coming back to haunt the console generation. I love it.
But thinking about the games themselves, they want to reach the widest market. So they're going to go for the lowest common denominator. They're going to go for whatever plays the best. I mean, if they have a lot of complexity in the game code to support multi-GPU, or not multi-GPU, but to support multi-core CPUs, and it makes the game slower on older generation stuff, then obviously they're not going to do that. I think that's a lot of what's involved there. It could also be just the fact that it is difficult to write software for multi-core systems and make it efficient.
Well, maybe we just need a killer app, like a new version of Crysis or something that will drive the games back into using multi-core. I guess time will tell, right?
Right. Well, we do have the, what's that engine that PUBG is written on? Unreal 4.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right? And that is a game engine that was designed for multi-core CPUs. And it's also designed for consoles, and it's also designed for mobile.
And the cross-gaming on that is just crazy.
So that is something where, okay, you have a game engine that will run on a mobile. It doesn't have to have a lot of PC power to run just so that they can have this big ecosystem so everybody can play together. Overall, the enthusiast me really feels that the PC needs to have a future. It needs to have a reason to exist. And I want to say that it's more than just being pretty, too. I mean, we have custom mods, we have water cooling builds, we have these super extreme Threadripper gaming motherboards that are going to draw an amazing amount of power, and only maybe 12 people will buy them. But overall, that's what makes owning and building a PC fun, is when you can assemble these parts together and make sure that you have a system that fits everything. It checks all the boxes, and it doesn't have any weak spots. And if it does, then you lower the expectation of something else so that everything levels itself out.
Well, who knows what'll drive the future? Maybe multi-core consoles, maybe dumped mining machines, could be VR. But either way, I think the future of the PC is certainly still not dead, just maybe not as clear as it used to be.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS, follow us on Twitter, or like us on Facebook. This has been an Engine Lane production, copyright 2018. Thanks for listening.